Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome my friend and colleague, Dr. Owen Strand, to the podcast. Dr. Strand serves as Associate Professor of Christian Theology, Director for the Center of Public Theology, and Director of the Residency PhD Program here at Midwestern Seminary. Dr. Strand, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you so much, Dr. Allen. Great to be here.
Yeah, so we're not in the studio today. We're actually in the president's office with a makeshift studio set up, and the reason being the coronavirus crisis and trying to maintain appropriate social distance. Perhaps we could have done that in studio, but we are here with definitely a comfortable margin of distance for this recording.
Yeah, this is spacious. I don't think I've ever recorded a podcast with so much space around me, so thank you for that.
So here we are. We are recording today. The date is, I believe, March 25th. That's right. Today's March 25th, and we find ourselves, boy, do we find ourselves in a unique season. What began a few weeks ago as a public health concern and then a couple of weeks ago as a public health crisis has morphed into an economic downturn, a major economic downturn, significant financial disruption, a general sense of fear and concern in the air. All of this coming even closer to home for pastors because churches are not meeting, have not met mostly for a couple of weeks, and are projected not to meet for a number of weeks, perhaps 2 months, perhaps maybe longer. And all the complications that go with that, an inability to shepherd hands-on with God's people, to deliver the preached word in a group gathered congregational setting, practical considerations, offerings being down, and so much more. And so we're speaking today and thinking about today preaching in times of crises, and in particular, theological preaching in times of crises. And here's my argument, Dr. Strand, it's this, that during these seasons, men and women of God need more truth, not less. Mm-hmm. And it is during these seasons of crises, whether it's personal crises, congregational crises, national crises, as we're experiencing now, when the great grand truths of the faith help to undergird the people of God. Mm-hmm. And so with that in mind, and before we get into that straightway, give us a word of update on you and your family and kind of your ministry these days.
Yeah, I appreciate it. The major thing that I've been working on is trying to beat my kids in Monopoly. Recent days, unsuccessfully, I might add. That aside, I've become a YouTube lecturer. Many professors have found this taking place in their career and vocation. Didn't expect this. Love residential education, but you know, this has pushed me. This has given me an opportunity to put some material and some content online for our students here at Midwestern and in my MDiv course, Theology 2. So have done that. Been working on those lectures. It's been fun and it's been a good challenge for me. And has pushed me. And then in the next 6 weeks or so, in early May, I have 3 books coming out, co-written with Gavin Peacock, called What Does the Bible Teach About Lust? What Does the Bible Teach About Homosexuality? And What Does the Bible Teach About Transgenderism? So that set of 3 books comes out with Christian Focus early May, trying to do what we do here and serve and resource the church to stand firm in a shaky world, as we are very much experiencing.
And listen, before we move on, you recently had another book come out, Reenchanting Humanity. Say a word about it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Reenchanting Humanity, about a 430-page book, a doctrine of humanity, trying to tackle the biggest theological and cultural questions of the age. So that book came out just a few months ago, and have seen it find an audience, praise God, and pray that it's used in some small way to strengthen Christ's people.
Well, listen, we're talking today about theological preaching in times of crises. Now, I know you also have tweeted and written on this topic here in recent days as well, and the basic argument that the people of God need more truth, not less. Even through online, live video type mediums, we still should bring them the truth of God. So I guess first question for you, just at the broadest level is, what role does truth play, generally speaking, in the life of the local church, in the life of the Christian?
The truth is the very resource by which the sheep, the children of God, are built up in the faith. You think of a text like John 17:17 from Jesus, where he says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." So we are saved by extension in that text by hearing the truth and responding to the truth as God gives us the gift of faith. And then we are sanctified, especially, that's the focus of the high priestly prayer, John 17. We are sanctified in and only in, we should say, the truth. So there's no sanctification that comes, by extension, outside of the truth. That means that preachers have an absolutely vital role. In fact, let's push in a little further here on the Preaching and Preachers podcast and say they have the cornerstone role in the kingdom of Christ. If they do not preach the truth, people will not be saved, and the sheep certainly will not be sanctified. So it's not as if there are seasons when we need truth. It's not as if there are seasons when we need a little extra dose of truth. It's that we have an undying need all the time for the truth of God's word. We feel that, though, especially strongly when the world is shaken around us as it is right now and our lives seem to shrink.
Yeah, well stated. Thank you for putting it so pointedly, especially as it relates to preaching. You know, you think about how we convey truth to the people of God. Christians read their Bibles. Christians are engaged in Bible study. They read books built upon Christian truth. But the real focal point of transmitting the truth of God to the people of God is indeed that corporate worship setting, the corporate gathering of God's people when the Word of God is preached. And churches find themselves these days displaced, meeting via online typically, and maybe doing so for a season. So my question for you is, as it relates to preaching, how should we be thinking of preaching during this season where the people of God can't gather and they're having to receive the Word of God via video and live stream presentations?
Yeah, we're seeing people figure this out in real time right now, and it's not a small thing. For example, for churches that believe in the corporate gathering and think that's effectively the center of weekly worship, to then move services online. We can't underplay just how convulsive and frankly weird that is. And I think we actually want it to be weird. I don't think we should be trying to shy away from the weirdness here. And yet, let me follow on the heels of that and say, I would be one who would argue for preachers not being bashful about preaching online, about going into an empty room and speaking into a camera and seeking to strengthen their people in the truth through that medium. I actually think preachers should, man, hit that button and light it up. I don't think our preachers, our core of pastor theologians on the front line of ministry, which is what pastors are, should feel any hesitation about taking to the airwaves, about going online and seeking in this, again, weird kind of context to feed the sheep. I think preachers should do what they normally do, work in that study for 10, 15, 20, 25 hours a week, and then go in front of that camera, grip that pulpit, and let it rip. I think that's the order of the day as I see things.
And look, we'll acknowledge here in this conversation that preaching to a camera or through a camera to people who aren't in the room, it does present its challenges. I mean, I've on rare occasion had to do that. Yesterday, I led an all faculty, staff, administration meeting via live stream, a virtual meeting. And so I'm speaking for about 40 minutes to our people giving institutional updates. And look, it's just different. I mean, of course, I wasn't preaching. I was giving generally an institutional update, but you're not getting response. There's no rapport with the congregation. You're just having to kind of speak in a laboratory in a sense. And so we acknowledge it's difficult. At the same time, our seasonality as a nation also presents us with an opportunity here. I mean, there is an appetite amongst many for truth. I mean, questions are occurring. Epistemological questions, great. Big life questions are occurring in people's minds and hearts. They're worried about their financial well-being, their jobs. They're worried about their health. They're worried about their parents and other loved ones they have who are elderly or have underlying health conditions that they catch this virus. It could be a real, real difficulty. And so there's an appetite for questions and there's an appetite for truth, but also I think there's an opportunity that's unlike we experience in our life. I mean, entertainment largely is on hold. Sports have been suspended. There's been a forced simplicity to so many of our lives. And so there's an appetite and there's a window of opportunity for pastors to speak in direct and substantial ways during this season.
That's right, Dr. Allen. I mean, we're feeling this keenly. You're an NBA fan. I'm an NBA fan. I have been left without my beloved Boston Celtics. That's the kind of silly angle of this. The much more serious angle of this is that, yes, people around us are feeling this crisis very personally. It's touching their friends. It's touching their family. In natural human terms, there's not a lot of comfort on the earth right now. Our routines are stripped away. We do have friends and family members who are trying to figure out if they have the coronavirus symptoms. What a time this is. But what a time this is then for the truth. This is a time, I would submit, when the truth is going to stand out like the Hollywood sign at midday. And we should not be bashful about going on social media and posting good sermons and good talks and good articles and good books. And we should not be twiddling our thumbs, wondering if anybody's going to come along and help the church or resource the church. We here at Midwestern are bullish on the truth and on the Word of God and on Jesus Christ. And so my personal view would be lots of people are scared right now. People are considering both sides to the coronavirus situation. Are we underdoing it? Have we overblown the panic? There's a lively debate there. There's all sorts of news coming at us. There's death tolls being reported. It's wild and woolly. We can't make all that go away, Dr. Allen, but what we can do is we can continue to promote sound doctrine. We can continue to preach Jesus Christ. We can call the lost to repentance, recognizing that death is a trumpet blast from the heavens, as Philip Jensen has powerfully said. And this is a time for unbelievers to take stock of their life. They always should be, of course, but this is a powerful time to consider whether you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then if you do, this is a time to press into the kingdom, to excel still more, and to go deep in the truth.
So you think about preaching truth and preaching truths during this season. You know, the first truth that comes to mind is reminding our people of the providence of God, the sovereign hand of God at work in our lives, presiding over this cosmos, orchestrating all events, circumstances, and people toward His own glory. How would you encourage our pastors to be thinking about this doctrine for the church during this season?
The doctrine of divine providence is too often treated as if it's a problem case, as if God has to prove Himself. Here's one of these situations where we realize the doctrine of divine providence is a shining jewel in the crown of God. In other words, it is tremendously comforting to know that God's meticulous, intricate providence is weaving everything together in Jesus Christ so that the plan of God comes to perfect fruition. That is not a small thing. Let's consider what life is like right now if you don't think that. Well, there's no providence guiding anything. There's no meaning and purpose in life if you don't believe in God, ultimately. There's no sense that everything's going to be all right. People say that. Everything's not necessarily going to be all right. The only way everything is going to be all right, ultimately, because Christians have no guarantees in this life either. I have no guarantees in this life. I could get coronavirus. The only way things resolve well for us is if God is a sovereign God and He's directing everything exactly the way He wants it to go. And He is summing up, Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, He is summing up all things in Jesus Christ, Colossians 1, 15 to 20. Here's the good news. He is. We're not in a blind, purposeless cosmos. God is ruling, but not just ruling in an abstract way up there kind of way. He's bringing every intricate detail of our lives to His perfect fulfillment. Preachers should make this clear. Preachers should comfort their people with these doctrines, people who may sometimes think of the sovereignty of God even in kind of bad terms. Well, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, and you think about, again, preaching truth and such an obvious doctrine to remind God's people of, to rest in, to trust Him. At the same time, reminding people of God's true care for His children, which is obviously an aspect of providence, God's provision, God's superintending our lives and so forth. But the fact that we do have a Father who loves His children, whose affections are set on His children, and who is not only like preoccupied choreographing the broad contours and events of the cosmos, but the specific details and circumstances of our own lives.
That's exactly right, Dr. Allen. It's not simply that God is generally sovereign, as you said. God is sovereign over everyone and everything. But the scripture especially zeroes in terms of the doctrine of divine providence, on the church, on the people of God. And it teaches, the Bible teaches, the New Testament teaches, that all things work together for good to those who are called in Jesus Christ, to those who are known as the children of God. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:37, Philippians 4, 6 and following. Be anxious about nothing, but in all things present your petitions to God. These texts and numerous others that we could talk about are teaching Christians in particular that we have access to the Heavenly Father through Christ by the indwelling Spirit. And so we need not fear anything in this world, even if in natural terms it looks scary. And these pandemics do look scary. But Christians take special comfort from the fact that our Heavenly Father, again, Ephesians 1, 3-14, is bringing His perfect will and His perfect plan to pass. And so we are held in God's hands. Jonathan Edwards used that phrase, drafting off of John 10. We are always in God's hands. We're never out of God's hands as Christians. If Jesus is our Savior, no one can pluck us out. Man, has there been a more precious and sweet time to consider a doctrine like that than this?
I want to pull our conversation together here, Dr. Strand, and with just a particular word to our pastors and preachers and ministers who are listening to this podcast. The conversation heretofore has been primarily about encouraging you to preach the truth, to bring the truth to bear the lives of the people of God. I want to say a word to you listening. We have churches out there who are not meeting, and many of you listening may be concerned about what will your church look like in 6 weeks, 8 weeks? Will they be able to pay you and your family? Will the ministry there be intact when we come through the coronavirus crisis and on the backside of it? Of course, there are a lot of unknowns, a whole lot of unknowns, how this will play out economically and otherwise. But I want to remind you and encourage you to rest in these two truths or these two aspects of God's character that we've encouraged you to preach on, for you to rest in the providence of God, for you to rest in God's love and God's fatherhood over you and in your life. Jesus loves His church. He's building His church. Jesus cares for His under-shepherds. And I want to encourage you to sleep well tonight also, coming through this, that God is not preoccupied not only with another cosmos somewhere else, but He's not preoccupied with another church somewhere else. He's given to your church, to your ministry, to your life, to your family, indeed to your calling. So may you find hope in Him. May you find confidence in Him and the grand reminder of these grand truths, the providence of God and His loving care for His children, and in particular, His ministers. Dr. Strand, thank you for joining us today on Preaching and Preachers and for considering with me these topics today.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. Great to be with you.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.